Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Every last one of them, big sips only. Jhené Angola Jr.
What?
What? What did I say?
No, you're talking about big sips in church?
No, that wasn't it at all. Michael Jr., Jhené Angola McKay here. It's Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the show. Pennzoil Performance Line. I don't know why you guys would put words like that in my mouth in this particular situation. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. Help bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. And Jhené, it's been one of those days where we said this before. We're coming off a World Series where the celebration was marred by Justin Turner testing positive for COVID, being taken out of a game and going back into it. We got news today that the Chargers had someone in their organization test positive, a player on their team, a player on the New York Giants, Will Hernandez, test positive for COVID-19, going to go on the COVID reserve list. And then we look back to college football and see even more of this going on with Nebraska in the Big Ten this weekend. It seems like, Jhené, after a while, and maybe this was the security of the bubble sports, the NBA, the WNBA, the NHL, and the way they were able to go about business, that we kind of got lulled into this false sense of security around our sports.
I think the goal was to have as many sports as possible in a bubble, in a contained environment. And certain sports present different challenges, and football is one of them with the number of personnel and how much it takes to mobilize. I can see why, you know, bubbles are harder to materialize. But at the same time, it's like, okay, if you know that's your reality, why don't you try to create a system that accounts for as much flexibility as possible to pull off a season? But the last few months, what has happened? We've been waiting in public pressure. Has been pushing. And now we're at a point where it feels like people are jammed against the corner of a wall and they can't really figure out a good way forward because teams are suffering based on the realities of the situation that they created for themselves. Sorry, let me breathe.
No, listen, it's Jhené, it's
that exciting kind of, about college football like you.
That's the thing, is we all want to be excited about all this stuff. And again, I got to see that through the lens of you guys in the WNBA bubble, the NBA bubble, all these places where, all right, we're testing every day. Everyone's committed to this inside. You don't have positive tests to worry about. You've got a bunch of other things that the NBA and the WNBA players were dealing with mentally inside that situation. But you got to go about this. And now we get college football, we get the NFL, we get Major League Baseball, where all these things keep coming up because doing sports in a pandemic without people being touched by the pandemic is impossible. It was never going to be possible. And so when we see headlines like this weekend where the Wisconsin Badgers are forced to put their program on pause right now and their game against Nebraska is canceled, I'm not surprised, especially in a Big Ten season that was going to try and go 8 games in 8 weeks. Paul Christ, the head coach of Wisconsin, who also was one of the people inside that organization to test positive for COVID-19, talked about the prospect of canceling this game and why this was done this weekend.
We were wanting the opportunity, and our players were wanting the opportunity to play. And then to not have that opportunity, and I know why, and I support, you know, and understand why we're not. But, you know, when you have a hand in it, you don't feel that. That's where there's a disappointment.
And Jhené, you can hear the disappointment because he understands there are limited opportunities for his athletes. But Paul Christ is one that, when their quarterback, Graham Mertz, tested positive, was out here still saying the right things. This is about health and safety. The Big Ten is operating out of an abundance of caution. And so when I hear him, it's almost this weird bit of refreshing because it seems like around the rest of the world of sports, Jhené, there's very little awareness of the whole global pandemic thing now that sports have returned.
I mean, you said it a couple days ago, and ever since you said it, I can't get it stuck out of my head. When you see or hear out of an abundance of caution, that's what the priority should be, protecting people's health. And so on one side of the spectrum, you hear the Paul Christ talk about how, you know, this is a bummer, but we understand that this is best for us in this instance, even though we now see our chances drop so dramatically. But then on the other side, what did you hear from Nebraska, Junior?
Well, Nebraska's been interesting, Jhené, because Nebraska went out and tried to get a game back on their schedule with FCS Chattanooga. The Big Ten Council has nixed that proposed idea. They're talking here, Dr. Jay Blackman, Tennessee Chattanooga's senior associate athletic director, confirmed this decision to ESPN. He told our own Mark Schlabaugh, "We knew at the beginning of the conversation that it was going to be a long shot. We were trying to do things to get ready. People were excited." Now, for Chattanooga, their conference chose to play in the spring. I played, I believe, one game this fall. Their next game was supposed to be in February. They were going through testing. They were doing all these things to potentially play this week. And then the Big Ten said, "No, we said conference only, Nebraska. We don't know why you're trying to do this," as Nebraska has continued to act up in this. But then we got this last night, Janae.
What?
Now, this is not Nebraska itself, but rather their radio affiliate yesterday tweeting in a tweet that was later deleted because, of course, in this instance,
obviously,
at Husker Sports, the Twitter account for Nebraska's radio network, tweeted a poll for their fans. They said, if the roles were reversed and the hashtag Huskers had six players and six staff members sitting out with positive tests, would the game be played Saturday? Retweet and answer for a chance to win a free combo meal.
Sorry.
What? No, but like it is like I didn't know whether to laugh or ask questions. I didn't know what the insinuation was. Like, would Nebraska have soldiered through this thing? Would they have found a way? Are they accusing Wisconsin of trying to duck them? Like, Janae, I don't understand what that was. And again, I can't stress enough, that did not come from the University of Nebraska. I have seen fans responding saying they can't believe how idiotic that tweet sounded, but there is that mentality still out there that they're being slighted by a situation that has nothing to do with competition, Janae, and that's the thing that continues to baffle me.
And this is a problem that we've had, you know, before even the Big Ten was able to get to a point to play. They had, part of the resolution in which they got to that point was by having this joint task force with a lot of voices coming together and having these, you know, medical professionals to say, hey, this should work and this shouldn't work on a case-by-case basis. Also, those people assigned to certain schools. And so when things don't go your way, to go ahead and flip that and try to do your own thing, it just seems a little disingenuous. But, you know, I'm trying to think about it in my situation. Like, if I were on that team and I was ready to play and, you know, you could try to add a game to the schedule, I don't think it's horrible to think that someone would try to do that. But, you know, so to try it, to try to sneak it in and see if that works, cool. But, like, if this was what was agreed upon, then fine. Like, just let it be. They said no, we tried it, and now we wait for our next game. Like,
yeah. Well, you know what, Janae? Part of this is it's almost impossible to remove the background of Nebraska very loudly beating their chest this offseason when the Big Ten announced it wasn't going to play, talking about looking for another conference during that season, and all the blowback that's led to these thoughts that the Big Ten punished them with their current schedule. Like, it's just hard to pull away Nebraska from that background of what's already happened this offseason. But like, they're not alone when it comes to any of this stuff. Dan Mullen, head coach of Florida, that had to pause its program because of COVID-19 outbreaks. It's going to be back on the field. One of the best college football teams in the country. Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts, exciting offense, all these things. The NCAA has prohibited football activities on Tuesday, November 3rd, on Election Day, coming up next week, to encourage players to go vote. This is Georgia week for the Florida Gators. Dan Mullen said, quote, "It's actually unfortunate the NCAA did this." He said, "I've been working on it for a couple days." I should start talking about something. I said, "We had a team thing set to go vote. We had to cancel a bunch of the things we had planned. We've had to redo this entire schedule. It messes with your preparation, the physical preparation of the players and the safety of them getting ready for this game. It kind of messes with that. I'm kind of disappointed the NCAA did that." Now, he said, you know, the Florida Gators, they've been encouraging their players, getting them registered to vote, talked about a bunch of them voting early out there. But still, this idea that, again, what we saw happen this whole offseason, everything around athletes using their voice, the NCAA trying to step in and say, you know what, we're going to make this day where we want to encourage everyone to go be a part of your portion of democracy. And for a coach to look at this and say, we can't move our practice schedule around, or this is making it difficult on us in a game week, again, to me, just seems wholly unnecessary.
I mean, I guess I have a rhetorical question. It's like, okay, we see one instance here, which sort of feels like a big symbol of what happens in college sports, of one coach's opinion on what his job is. But does that take into account the opinion of athletes, young people that are trying to contribute to, you know, this generation and be able to say that, hey, I'm literally in school where we are taught that this is important, yet there's someone speaking on my behalf that may not see that the same way?
Yeah, it's... it's the whole complicated mess of that, Chiney, and just what you said, this whole process in college football is especially made more difficult because the presence of those athlete voices in places that matter is oftentimes not taken into account, not factored into the equation in a way that allows them to operate and affect the outcomes of situations like this. This is one of those where, thankfully, the NCAA did something, stepped up and actually did something and said, no, we're going to clear out this day so people can go vote. I, for one, am shocked, but it still happened.
Look, we have to throw some snaps out that this is like when we talk about the NCAA, snaps for this. We stand by this, okay?
Honestly,
because I don't know how many other times we've been going to snap for the NCAA.
No, not very often in this process. So we'll, I'm sure, have another headline coming at some point from college football that we lose, and hopefully we'll get some quality ones coming out of a weekend where we've got all five top five college football teams on ESPN Air this weekend, all in action, ready to go at it. Some of those including Big Ten teams like Ohio State going out a big one against a Penn State team rebounding from a loss to IU. So we'll get into all of that as we go along and get closer to the weekend. But coming up next, as we get ready for Thursday night football, the Falcons and the Panthers, we look at the quarterbacks on these two teams and how they actually might cast a light on some of the quarterback musical chairs that could be set to go on this offseason. That's next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We get ready to kick off the NFL weekend tonight with Thursday night football. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And we got the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers squaring off tonight, Chiney, which means we're probably going to see some painful way to lose a football game put on a main stage by the Atlanta Falcons at this point, right? Like, it's just what we signed up for in this hellscape of a season.
I'm a very, very, very optimistic person, and I've lost all optimism when it comes to the different ways, the myriad of ways that the Falcons find ways to lose.
Man, if you have lost Chiney's optimism, you know how badly you have hurt people if you have done that in this situation?
I feel bad. I really do at this point. I feel bad. And I also feel bad for Matt Ryan because this is a guy that spent his whole career there. And a lot of people are like, when you're at your past your prime or even, you know, towards the end of beginning endish of your prime, it's going to be hard to survive in a system where, you know, they might be inclined to press reset button.
Yeah, that's the interesting part with this, Chiney, is I think tonight's game, as interesting as it is on the field, because the Carolina Panthers have exceeded everyone's expectations so far through this season. Three wins for a team that was taken over with a new head coach in Matt Rhule that got one of those long contracts, kind of like we saw with Brian Flores in Florida or in Miami, seem to be all indication that, yeah, we're taking the long timeline on this. Teddy Bridgewater on a prove-it contract with them, nice three-year deal that keeps costs low at that spot. And they've kind of showed out without Christian McCaffrey, who will not be active for the game tonight. I know there's some chatter about that, but you're right, Chiney. I look over to that Atlanta sideline, and I say there's part of me that thinks that it's more likely Teddy Bridgewater is back under center for Carolina next year than Matt Ryan, based on the rate the Falcons are going, having already fired their coach.
So I mean, obviously we're playing the game in which maybe if, you know, he leaves or he has to part ways, where do you see a place that he could land or somebody that could see him being valuable for their team?
This is the really interesting part, Chiney, is I think there's a lot of teams that are going to be asking quarterback questions this offseason. And Matt Ryan is a victim of circumstance. What we talked about with Odell Beckham Jr. in Cleveland, I think is very similar to what's going on with Atlanta and Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is still playing good football. Matt Ryan has still put up monster stats, albeit people will point to garbage time numbers in the last few years. But he's got competitive football left in him as a starter in this league. But if you're the Atlanta Falcons, you just fired your coach during the course of this season, you're going to be bad enough to be in range for a top pick, and change might just be the most natural. I think the Cardinals have shown us, Chiney, that if you got a new coach coming in and you got a chance to bring a quarterback and line those two up, it's always a smart way to do business. It just,
that's your favorite formula, and I think, and I really stand by that.
Well, and Chiney, because you know how this is, what's the most important connection, regardless of sport, regardless of the nature of the game? It's your star player and your most important players and your head coach. We're going to watch that take place in the NBA with a bunch of teams that are making changes right now. What's going on with Doc Rivers in Philadelphia, who we spent so much time talking about yesterday with the Sixers? Like, that relationship between him and Ben Simmons is going to be the most important thing for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And before I get to my shenanigans, is there a place that you do think Matt Ryan can go?
Well, I look at Matt Ryan and I say it would be very interesting to me what ends up happening with a team like the New England Patriots. because they're probably looking at an offseason where Cam Newton is probably not going to be the quarterback going there next year if things keep up the way that they're going here. Because I look around and I say, all right, the Jets might be in range. If they get that top pick, we know that's going to be a Trevor Lawrence thing. But the Patriots could be looking to make a move next year. The Indianapolis Colts, it ain't working out with Phillip Rivers right now. That seems like a failed experiment. That's another spot where if you believe we've got an offense that we're starting to build around, you drafted a couple of receivers, you know you got the line and a defense, that could be a very interesting spot as they look to build in there. What are the Broncos going to do out there? Are they going to be bought in on Drew Lock after what we've seen this year? Is he going to be on the field consistently enough for that? So I looked down the list, Janae, and you could find almost double-digit teams that are going to in some way, shape, or form be involved in the quarterback market. Matt Ryan and others are going to have a couple interesting looks at landing spots.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And now before you go, you know, because you have some business to attend to when it comes to college football, who is it, South Alabama and Georgia Southern, right?
South Alabama and Georgia Southern.
Okay, before we get there, pause.
Okay.
Tomorrow, are we making the commitment as a Chenea and Golic Jr. team? And I'm talking about everyone, like Cliff, I'm talking to you, Dev, Shannon, yes, everybody. Are we dressing up tomorrow for Halloween?
Yes. I think we got to be bought all the way in on this. I think we got to commit to this as a team because I'm ready to go. I got a couple of outfits in the works right now. Devin, Cliff, where are we at on this one, guys?
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I have not given it one thought. I thought it was ELE minus C or whatever y'all had going on. What team, right? So I'm good. Y'all got it.
See, wow. That didn't surprise me. Devin, I'm a little disappointed in you.
I'll keep that same energy when I get Adidas merch, Cliff. It's all good.
Woo! Oh, time out. The new Ivy Park just dropped today, so I'm going to need you to mail me that.
It's amazing how quickly the script gets flipped around here. I'm glad we got Billy out here today to see just what we're living with over here. Billy, you'd be dressed up with us tomorrow if you were here, wouldn't you?
I mean, yeah, I would definitely get dressed. You know, I'm in for the festivities. I don't really, you know, support the holiday as a whole, but I definitely get dressed. You know, I like to dress up. I was Michael Jackson one year. They say I look like him. Faintly, I don't know.
All right, turn his mic off. Please.
He said, "Who's to say though? Who's to say? I can't really know for sure."
Oh, my last time I dressed up as Serena Williams. I don't know if you saw me. I was running through the hallways at ESPN with a racket, and I went on air with it. Yep.
My God. See, those are the kind of quality. Like, I know you're going to bring it tomorrow, Chene, so now it's got me rotating through outfits, getting ready to up my game and all.
Inspired
this.
By Billy, I'm probably going to go musician.
There we go. Oh, all right.
And I cannot wait for our two Damn Friday segment because I'm going to just hit all the musician moves.
There are a lot of teases going out for the show you're getting ready for tomorrow. We're excited about that, but now we got to get to the second fastest 2 minutes in sports. Because today I'm heading off, and I am on the call tonight, and you mentioned we got South Alabama. We got Georgia Southern, not State. Not Georgia State. You got to wait till the weekend to watch them. You got Thursday nights with Georgia Southern and South Alabama. And this one's exciting because styles make fights in college football, Chene. This isn't the analytics of Major League Baseball where everyone looks the same and sounds the same. We got Georgia Southern rolling in with the triple option in here. Shy Wirtz, an absolute dynamo playing quarterback for these guys leading the charge. You might have seen last weekend, Wesley Kennedy III, punt return for a touchdown in their game against Coastal Carolina. Getting loose, getting with it, an exciting weapon for that Georgia Southern offense. But I look on the South Alabama side, and they say hold the phone because Desmond Trotter is in the building. Their quarterback has been making plays. Watch out for this deep ball, one of the prettiest ones you will ever see. And Kawan Baker, his receiver on the outside, that's going to be all over the field, going to be one ready to go up and get it for him, Chene. These are exciting offenses. The Sun Belt is back to party with you on a Thursday night, 7:30 Eastern. Tune in. Check us out. Me, Matt Berry, hanging out on the call. Larisha Harris going to be on the sideline with us. It's lit.
Be there or be square.
Oof, it's good.
All right, you have to go, though, right?
I got to run. Jason Fitz is going to be in here hanging out with you guys soon, as is one of our great members of NFL Live, to help us figure out where Matt Ryan could land next year, as well as what to expect from another big-time marquee weekend in the NFL.
We're going to have one more thing to do, though.
We do have one more thing to do, Chene, and I'm glad you reminded me of this because we're going to do all that after this word from Mercedes-Benz Van, because Lord knows Chene does not want to read this when I'm gone. She's made that abundantly clear. And that's fine because I love Mercedes-Benz vans. And if you ever wonder how far an extra mile really goes, drive a Mercedes-Benz van to find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything from customization to service. On vans like the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, that's tailored to your lifestyle with options like blind spot assist and MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather, and so much more. So whether it's you're enjoying life on the trail or working hard on the job, see how far an extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership today. And now with IRS Section 179, businesses could be eligible for up to a $25,900 tax deduction. That's up to $5,439 in tax savings. Options and model availability may vary. That's a big winner. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Some equipment described is optional. $5,439 tax savings based on 21% federal tax rate and eligibility to claim full $25,900 Section 179 vehicle deduction. Your tax rate and eligibility may vary. Consult your tax advisor for more information. Limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com. Offer valid through December 31st, 2020. Back after this, it's Chenang Old Jr.
Chenang and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenang and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, in a few minutes, we will talk about the new hires in the NBA. But right now, I'm so excited to be with you, Jason Fitz, subbing in. You're officially now my side piece. Nope. Side piece, Fitz.
I feel like I've made it then. Like, that feels like that's good. You know, but we got to wait till Mike's far enough away because he is much larger than I am, Chenang. So, like, I got to make sure that I'm safe. But as long as you got my back, I'm all in for that.
Always, even though you do like come in with some energy when it comes to us. I think you direct that more at, you know, Michael Jr. though.
Well, I mean, I'd like to think that I'm a bundle of fire no matter what, you know. I've got that thing. I don't know if it's good or bad. It's annoying at 3 a.m. or in 3 p.m. It's part of my charm.
Oh, it is. You have very nice charm. And we've also started a group here called Glee SPN where I sing, Junior sings. I think Jeff Passan has an invite. Would you like to play an instrument?
Well, yes. I mean, of course, if there's a band here. Like, for a long time, I've been suggesting that we do an event, like, on Zoom or something, and we call it, like, karaoke, and we do karaoke with, like, viewers, and we raise money for a good cause. Look at that. Like, I can sing, too, today, so we can do a little karaoke event.
You are very versatile, right? And, you know, our previous segment, we were talking about NFL quarterbacks when it came to Matt Ryan, especially with the Falcons taking on the Panthers and Thursday Night Football tonight, and how sometimes talents don't get appreciated, like my singing talent fits. Now, how do you see that whole situation working out with the Falcons so far? I mean, we talked about how there's so many myriad of ways that they lose. And when you're an athlete, someone that has played with an entire team their entire career and also still super talented, do you think that this is something where he could stay or he likely would move and part ways in the future?
I mean, this is one of those one man's trash is another man's treasure, right? I think Matt Ryan is an incredibly good quarterback. I think that a lot of teams will line up for the opportunity to sign Matt Ryan. But, Chenang, ultimately, the Falcons are going to try and figure out what's next for them. And if they think that they're in full rebuild mode, I mean, I thought the Falcons were going to be a playoff caliber team. So that obviously didn't happen. So now they have to figure out how to reset. But if they reset by making change at the quarterback position, let's be real about one thing. It's not like going into the draft suddenly means you've got your guy. I mean, it's not that long ago that the Titans thought that Mariota was their guy, or that the Bucks thought that Jameis was their guy, or even now, we don't know. One year Baker's the guy, the next year Baker's not the guy. Like, I love how everybody suddenly props up the draft as, you know what, we're going to get rid of Matt Ryan, we're going to go to the draft and get what exactly? Like, you ain't getting Trevor Lawrence, so outside of that, or Justin Fields likely where they're picking. So outside of that, there's not a sure answer. I think the Falcons might be a little bit too confident in their own ability to draft.
And how do you evaluate the Panthers so far, surprising a lot of people, especially without McCaffrey?
Well, that's a really good question. And I'm not sure, I'm that surprised with Matt Rhule, particularly taking over the reins there. And I had the opportunity last year traveling with Game Day to be around Rhule at Baylor a little bit. And you can spend 30 seconds in the room and feel the energy of him. He's a person that brings in his personality to everything he does. And he's just got a particular fire to the way he wants to build things. It's working in Carolina. And I thought that there was even a statement when Christian McCaffrey was hurt and he started talking from the get-go about coming back for a playoff run. I think that tells you part of the mindset that they were trying to bring in there. So I'm not surprised to see Matt Rhule be successful, but I am surprised to see the Panthers be as good this early, Chenang, as we're seeing. So, you know, I'm not sure that it makes them a playoff team, obviously, this year. But if I'm a Panthers fan, I feel pretty good about the foundation.
But you know which school Christian McCaffrey went to, right?
No, I mean, does that matter? Like,
yeah. On this show, Chenangola Jr. matters, I mean, so please answer my question.
He went to, is he a smart dude or something? Well, just because one guy goes to Stanford doesn't mean that suddenly he's smart. I mean,
He is amazing, though.
Well, that is true. He is amazing.
Like, what do you expect, though, from Christian McCaffrey when he comes back? Because this is a season like no other, you know, dealing with injury and then jumping right back in. It's probably more challenging in this season more than any other season before.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And, you know, there's a smaller adjustment, but I look at the talent of Christian McCaffrey and what he can offer to this offense. Like, I think I don't want the success of the offense. It's no different than the NBA. Like, a star player goes out for a second, right, and everybody says, oh, they're better off without him. Like, I don't want the success of an offense without a star player to be some reason that we believe that that star player is no longer necessary. Christian McCaffrey is the most versatile weapon in the NFL. So the minute he comes back and he's healthy, Carolina gets even better. I mean, that's the sort of, they've been playing with house money, and they are way up. That, I don't know what that feels like because I'm too cheap to gamble that much, but it feels like what Mike Golic Sr. feels like at the blackjack table right now.
Okay, you know, we aren't going to have your services tomorrow, and so I kind of want to look ahead to the weekend before I get to my question that is all about shenanigans.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Well, oh, no, it's not about that. It's not about that yet. Okay, not that yet. Let's start with football before we get to the candy, okay? Steelers undefeated 6-0, only undefeated left in NFL. The 5-1 Ravens are their opponent this weekend, this Sunday. How are you feeling about this matchup?
I mean, this is going to be the statement that defines who the second-best team in the AFC is, and, you know, I'm not surprised to see the Steelers where they are. Again, I picked them to go to the playoffs, but if you look last year, that was an easy pick. It's not like I'm brilliant, right? If the playoffs had been expanded last year, they would have gone with Duck as their quarterback, and I think we're just underselling. I mean, Big Ben comes in. He's not even playing as well as Big Ben's going to play. I think the Steelers are an absolutely incredible team because they're one of the few teams right now that's not only playing offense, but they're playing at least a little bit of defense. Now, Baltimore also is in that category, but so far, right now, it's just looked a little better. The eye test, as they say in college football, for Pittsburgh. So I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win the game, and then we're all going to become overhyped on why they're better than Kansas City, which I'm sorry they're not.
I'm looking forward to all of that this weekend, and I'm glad we got your nuggets here because we will make sure to get your Halloween takes when it comes to candy, but more importantly, your costume and if you're dressing up. But first, Fitz, it's finally time for you to give, you know, I'm going to give you some work in the paint because I've been waiting for this opportunity, and this is where our friendship ends because my hometown in Houston, Texas has a new head coach, and Philly also has a new president of basketball operations. We will check in on the NBA right after this break. Chenangola Jr. will be right back on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Chene and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chene and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. I missed that Jason Fitz bop. Progressive celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Chene Ogumike, Jason Fitz. Now at the top of the hour, we will talk about the aftermath of the Dodgers World Series win and the impact of Justin Turner being on the field after his positive test. Fitz is going to give us on this show his take on all of that, but first let's head back to my great state of Houston, Texas. Oh, did I say state in Houston? State okay. of Texas, because the Houston Rockets have hired Steven Silas as their new head coach. The former Dallas Mavericks assistant and former Rockets GM Daryl Morey is now looking like he's going to be the next president of basketball ops in Philadelphia for the 76ers. Now, with so many possibilities, Fitz, between Elton Brand, Doc Rivers, and Daryl Morey in the house, our own Stephen A. Smith came up with an idea on First Take that could potentially take Philly, the 76ers, over the top. Listen to this.
I thought long and hard about this. First of all, if I'm the Houston Rockets, I don't do it. But if I'm the Philadelphia 76ers and the goal is to get to the finals, I'm Daryl Morey. The first thing I'm trying to do is get James Harden to become a Philadelphia 76er.
Ooh.
Even if it means me trading Ben Simmons. And with Doc Rivers as the coach, with Daryl Morey and all of them damn trades, because only the Philadelphia 76ers have made more moves than Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey will trade anything. I mean, this brother makes things happen. I'm just saying, if I'm the Philadelphia 76ers and Daryl Morey is officially named my president of basketball operations, my number one objective is to try to get James Harden in a Philadelphia 76er uniform, and I just wanted to say that.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I got so many questions for you about all of this. I mean, first and foremost, like, people in hell want ice water, right? Like, it's cute that you're going to call Houston and be like, hey, we want Harden. Like, why at any point would Houston turn around and say, hey, new coach, new regime, new reset here, but what we're really going to do is just blow everything up? I don't understand that portion of it. But the other portion of it is, why are we suddenly presuming, even if Daryl Morey goes into this situation, that he's calling all of the shots? The most confusing part of what the 76ers have done here is that they put three celebrity chefs in one kitchen to one restaurant. I don't understand how you get food out of that kitchen when you got three different people, all with some level of ego because they are where they are, and all people that have had some level of creative control on what they get to do. Janae, this feels like it's a cluster and a battle from day one.
Jason Fitz, on this show, I am the optimist. So do you want me to explain to you how this could potentially work for good?
Yeah.
Elton Brand has done a really good job of, you know, retooling this entire organization in the sense that, okay, you have players that are top players. They're taking themselves transitioning from out of the process into now performing. Cool there. Daryl Morey has made a name, especially when we talk about analytics and baseball and the numbers game. He's made a name by, you know, using those numbers to his advantage so that he has an offense in Houston that maybe not, you know, compared to the Warriors or the Lakers top tier in talent, or at least that dominant, but hey, they still, you know, swing at the champ, and they're able to compete with those people, even though they didn't win a championship because your girl's waiting on one, you know, since 95, 96, but it's all good. Sorry, I digress. But you have a guy that, you have an offense that needs to be maximizing. You have a guy that's known for maximizing offenses. So that's Daryl Morey and Elton Brand. Lastly, you know, by thinking about this overall big picture when it comes to trading for James Harden, I can see that working in the sense that, you know, you can play small ball when you're in Houston, but at the end of the day, you lost to Anthony Davis. You're still going to need somebody to anchor the paint and defend against guys like that, especially with the emergence of those type of players, whether it's AD or even Zion Williamson, that attack the rim relentlessly. So if you bring in James Harden and you get rid of Ben Simmons and you try to play four round one, like, okay, maybe this could work with, you know, Joel Embiid being defensive player of the year. So like, I see a world in which this works, but back to reality fits, because you still have guys like Tobias Harris who, you know, play more inside than they are outside. Same thing with Al Horford, and you still are lacking shooting. So I don't know if James Harden can be a quick fix for all of that.
So let me counter all of your positivity, because usually I'm with you. I'm positive on all this stuff. You know me well enough, but I'm going to counter all of it with some negativity here. If you are at this point, Elton Brand, you believe that you've either done a really good job or you haven't, one way or the other. If you have done a good job, then you certainly don't want a boss that's going to come in and tell you what moves you have to make. If you haven't done a good job, your pride's a little hurt, right? Like, you're not suddenly just stepping back and being like, oh, Daryl, whatever you want to do, I'm totally cool with it. If you're Daryl Morey, you've been stubborn running a particular type of offense that everybody says can't win a championship, and you've just beat your head into a wall over and over and over again. Now you're going to bring that offense to Philly? If I'm Doc Rivers, I'm looking at it saying, well, the one thing I don't want to do is the definition of insanity. I don't want to run it back either of these ways. So then the last portion of it is, if you put Harden in Philadelphia, does that make them better than Brooklyn or whatever Milwaukee's going to be? I don't think so. And if you put Simmons over on Houston, does that make them better than the Lakers? So all you're doing is moving pieces to continue to meddle in mediocrity compared to what you expect, which is championships.
The only, you know, real credit that I will give them is that, hey, they're trying to compete now, because if you weren't making these big moves where, you know, you have a lot of big personalities in one place, at least they've taken a decision like to humble themselves and bring these people in and not think I am the one solution for all of this. So I think that's the good part in all this. They're trying to win now, and that's what I see with these hires. Now, before we transition to a whole nother thing, I want to get your take on what you think the NBA, you know, when it comes to the 25th, you know, December, why did I say the 25th? It's Christmas Day. Do you think that the NBA should really start and look towards, you know, maintaining their financial priorities by starting on Christmas Day? Or do you think that, you know, you side more on the players where we like around January 18th?
No, I mean, here's the thing. Christmas Day has become sort of like Thanksgiving is anonymous. You and I had the opportunity to work together on the morning show a few years ago around Thanksgiving, and it's like, it's so synonymous with football. That's what Christmas Day has been, even before I worked in this industry and I was just a basketball fan, right? Christmas Day is the day where you sit back and you're like, man, I am just going to get my fill of NBA. And it's the day that I think that so many people come to it and say, okay, catch me up. Like, now I want to pay attention. Now I want to get to where I am, especially for casual fans. So to me, to lose that momentum would be absolutely damaging. Even though I understand the logic that players need more time to get ready, there's still, the minute you leave that door open for the NFL to take over the conversation on Christmas Day, the NFL is like a pit bull in the dog park. It's not going to give up any space that it's already gotten. So I wouldn't give them that leverage. I'm going to try and do anything I can to keep that as my day for my marketing and my sport.
Yeah. I think, you know, the players in the majority, you know, the ones that haven't been playing throughout the course of the pandemic, because I believe only about 16 teams made it to the, you know, the bubble. Those probably want to play. And there are players that played in the bubble like the Lakers and made it to, you know, the final few rounds that probably are tired. So I can see how it can happen both ways. But hey, I'm still looking forward to Christmas Day basketball or even MLK Day basketball. And I'm looking forward to Halloween. Are you ready for it, Fitz?
Oh, you know, like nobody's more ready on this campus than this company than I am for Halloween. Nobody can outdo my Halloween.
What hint do we have here?
What
hint? Like, what are you going to do?
There's not enough time. Chinee, the Halloween experience that I give the world, it takes more than 30 seconds. So I'm just telling you, you ain't ready for it. But I will tell you what it's going to be. That's for sure.
Well, we'll see if Philly is ready for their new hire, because when it comes to Philly, they're making some big moves in the front office to help out their team. But on the other end of the spectrum, there was a player in the MLB that made a decision that really could hurt his. That's next. Justin Turner, Chinee Ngolick Jr. on ESPN Radio. We'll talk about him after this.